Hello, do we have people here?
Hi.
Hello, this is Chris. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good, how are you?
Good. I hear only one voice, but I'm sure we have others back there, and that's okay. You guys could just say hi in the spirit, but I won't hear you because I'm not the spirit. Making a joke, sorry. Hope everyone's doing well. Welcome. We should have Lisa and Sophia here in a few minutes. So we'll just hang tight until we get them on board, and I think we're expecting another 15 people.
Becky? Bobana?
Hi, this is Kelly.
Hi.
Sophia.
Hello.
Is anybody else on, or is it just us?
We have a lot of other people on board. So
Oh, hey, Chris.
welcome.
How are
Welcome.
you,
Oh,
Sophia?
Sophia, hey, how are you? I'm just not gonna do the unminimum
I'm
typing a
doing
text. Welcome. I think we're
well.
waiting for Lisa as well.
Okay, cool. How are you guys doing today?
Okay. Oh boy, it's busy.
Becky. Hi, this is Laura.
Jared. Hi, this is Jared.
Hey, Jared, welcome.
Hey, thanks.
We're waiting just a few more minutes for more people and for Lisa as well.
Okay, terrific. No worries.
Hello, everyone.
Hi,
Lisa, is that
Lisa.
you?
Hi, how are you
Hey.
tonight?
Hello. Good.
Gigi.
Hi, Gigi.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome.
Melissa.
It's been another blessed week. Hey, Melissa.
Hi.
In her 2001 memoir, Wendy, The Heat, she
So it's 6:31. I hear some more beeps coming in. I'm going to give it one more minute. And then we want to get started because we like to start on time and finish on time. Or come close to it. At least we sometimes it gets really good and we never want to cut anybody off, but we want to make sure we get everything that we need to get done, taken care of. So it is 6:31. I hear the beeps are slowing down a little bit. All right, well, let me go ahead and just start off. I'm going to remind everyone of what the purpose of this meeting is, and then we're going to open up with prayer. And tonight we have Melissa, not Melissa, I'm sorry. We have Sophia who will be sharing with us a testimony on forgiveness. We will record the testimony on forgiveness, but then after that we will not record because we don't want anybody to feel apprehension regarding sharing. So unless you give us permission to record, we will not record you. Okay, so this name of this group is called Standing on Scripture. which our acronym is SOS. And if you ever have an urgent prayer need that you need to go forth, then please reach out to SOS, and we will make sure we go before the Lord in prayer on behalf of you. We always want to make sure that we have scripture to support what we are saying, and because we know that we are standing on the Word of God, and in terms of restoration of marriages, souls, family, you name it, we're standing for it. So with that said, we welcome everyone to the call on tonight. And Sophia, we'll go ahead and turn it over to you so that you can have our opening prayer and then go into 15 minutes of your testimony.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Okay, so Father, I just want to thank you for bringing us all here tonight on this conference call. I pray that you give us wisdom and revelation. I pray that whatever it is that any of us need at this specific hour, that you bless us, that you give us a word, and that you speak to our hearts, that you give us ears to hear you, eyes to see you, and a heart to truly, truly feel you. And if there's anybody on here that is holding on to hurt, to resentment, to anger, I pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts, that you remove anything that is not of you, and that you allow you to work in us and through us so that others can see you in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I don't know if I'll do 15 minutes, and if I do anything over, just let me know. But so I just want to give you guys a little backstory. I've been standing for my marriage since 2016, which back then I didn't know that was a thing. And in 2017, you know, everything was, you know, we had a false start for a full year. And in July, on July 1st of 2018, everything just came to a blow. Everything, you know, I know in my heart now that it was God who exposed everything. And excuse me if I cry, I'm a crier. But when everything happens, when I read the share wall, my heart really, really hurts for all of you guys, me included, that is going through this journey, that is currently still going through, you know, through the hurt, because I know all too well the pain that it's a physical pain that you feel in your heart and in your chest, and it is not a pain that I wish on my worst enemy. And God encountered me when everything came to a blow on July 1st and everything was exposed. I was alone. My husband at that time was traveling out of the country for a full year. So I was alone, home alone, at the house for a full year. And God encountered me on July 9th. And I will never, ever, and I cry because it's a beautiful thing. I will never forget that night, ever. Ever. I was in a point where I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. I was throwing up every morning and there was nothing coming out because I couldn't eat anything. And that night of July 9th, you know, I cried out to God and I said, I can't do this anymore. Like, I need help. Help me. I don't know how. But I ended up getting a full night's sleep that night, and the following morning, every that pain that hurt, that the throwing up was completely gone, and I felt such a peace in my heart. And I knew then, you know, that, okay, God, like, this is you. Like, this, I couldn't, there's no other explanation or anything that could have taken us away from one just overnight. But during the course of, you know, those few months after July 9th, you know, I felt like Jacob in Genesis 32, 20, 22 through 32. I was still, I knew, okay, God, this was you, but I was still wrestling with God. And my whole justification was, okay, you know, I'm going to hold on to this anger and to this hurt and to this resentment. Cause look what he did. Look what he did to me. Like, the person that I trusted the most and loved hurt me so bad. Like, look what he did to me. I have a reason to be angry and to be hurt. And to in my heart, I wanted to hate him. I wanted to hate him so much. And I was trying to justify in my head, like, okay, I can move on. I can start dating somebody else. Like, okay, the, you know, divorce done. You know, I'm completely done. But God wasn't done with me yet. After, you know, a few, I want to say all throughout July and August, after I was encountered by God, like, I had a hunger just to get to know him more, to know God more. And I was, you know, reading the Bible, which is something that I never did in my 38 years of life. I started reading the Bible. I started just listening to sermons online. And something that really spoke to me, you know, was something that Rick Warren said was, hurt people hurt people. And I was at a point where I couldn't forgive on my own strength. And I kept on, you know, asking God, like, please, like, allow me to forgive, you know, my husband for the way he's hurt me. And the Bible verse that really spoke to me was Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And that spoke to me because even though I've always known about God, I've never had a personal relationship with him like I do now. And there was hurts, not just for what my husband did to me, but hurts that happened in my childhood, hurts that happened in my teen years that I was still holding on to, and I had not forgiven those individuals for the way that they had hurt me in the past. And that just stuck to me, and it's like, okay, well, if I can't forgive these people, then my Father won't forgive me of my sins for the way that I have not only hurt him, but that I have hurt other people. And it was just, you know, a daily, for me, forgiveness is a daily, it's not a feeling. For me, it's a choice. It's something that I choose to do every single day. When I wake up, I mean, that's the first thing, you know, that comes out of my mouth, you know, besides obviously the Lord's Prayer when I wake up. But I always choose to forgive the way that my Father has forgiven me for the way that I've hurt him and others. And I choose to walk in love and not focus on my circumstances. And this also boils down to Matthew 18:21-22, when Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered him, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And to me, that's telling me it's a daily, it's not just a one time, oh, you know what, I forgive him and that's it. It's a daily choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice that I choose through in my heart to truly forgive for the way that they have hurt me. And, you know, at the end of the day, I honestly can say out of my mouth that I don't regret anything that's happened, because had none of that happened, I would have never experienced God the way I experienced him that night of July 9th, or the way that I'm still experiencing him now. You know, like, he's purging. I allow him, you know, I've allowed him to purge my heart of everything that is not of him. And I know a lot of times we pray, you know, Ezekiel 36:26-27 on our spouses. But I also pray that on myself, that God remove my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh, not only towards my spouse, but more importantly, to allow God to do what he needs to do in my heart to truly walk in obedience and walk in his love and to continue doing what he wants to do, not just in my marriage, but in my life or in somebody else's life, somebody that's going or just starting off their journey or maybe has some other hurts that's not going through marriage issues. And there's something that really spoke to me when I read a testimony a few days ago. It's from a book called Your Scars Are Beautiful to God, Finding Peace and Purpose in the Hurts of Your Past. And this reads, unforgiveness can be likened to a parasite. It feeds on the anger and hurt of its host, finding its most satisfying nourishment in human pain. It thrives on the cycle of replayed scenes, recalled anguish, and rehashed justification for holding on fast to grudges. Essentially, unforgiveness grows plump on our desire for revenge. While many of us don't have a plan to exact revenge, we somehow think that holding on to the unforgiveness is revenge enough. The only person being hurt when we choose not to forgive is us, is you. It's as if we are hitting our own heads against the wall in order to punish the other person. And when I read this, I could see myself standing in front of a wall, literally, and banging my head up against the wall. And the only person at the end of the day that I'm hurting is myself by not forgiving my spouse, by not forgiving the other people. And, you know, God's encountered my life. It's been a painful but a beautiful journey. 2018, I can sum it up to being the worst but yet the best year of my life. And it's only if we allow God to really work on our hearts and remove everything to purge us of everything that he wants to remove that's not of him. And it's a painful but a beautiful journey. And I see it as when you refine gold, you put gold in the fire and remove all of its impurities. And that is what I have been going through. God has been removing all of my impurities. So really my prayer for all of us tonight is that God not only remove the hearts of stone in our prodigals, but also in us, and that he give us a heart of flesh to truly, truly heal him so that we can allow him to do what he wants in our hearts and in our lives. So that's it.
Thank you, Sophia. We're applauding you. That took a lot of strength and courage to come on and share that. So I want to open up the floor now to anyone who may have a question for Sophia. So before we change topic or anything or have another testimony, if you have something specific for Sophia at this time, you can do so. You can ask your question.
Sophia, this is Wernicke. If you're feeling comfortable, could you talk a little bit about how God spoke to you through some of your dreams? Because I have found that so encouraging as I've gotten to know you.
You know, after everything happened, you know, like I said, I felt like Jacob, you know, wrestling with God back and forth. And it wasn't until I truly forgave daily and allowed him to do what he needed to do in my heart is when God started speaking to me in dreams. Like, and it started in September of last year. And I truly believe that it's God that's been speaking to me. You know, I won't go into details because I feel like they're personal, and I don't feel it in my spirit that I should share what those dreams were. But I can tell you that one specific dream, which was the first one that I had in September, and I have it written in my journal, it was his confirmation to me that he was going to deliver not just me, but my husband from the evil, from the enemy that has come in to destroy our marriage. And I will tell you guys that I have, even though I'm in my storm, and yes, I still feel some pain, but I have a peace. I have a peace to me that when the divorce was finalized on December 4th, yes, it hurt, but I was okay. You know, I knew I was okay because I know that God is with me, and I know what he's called me to do. And he's confirmed it to me several times in dreams. And one thing that I've come to understand is that when we feel and we hold on to that anger and to that resentment, we're not allowing ourselves to hear from God. I see a lot of people on the share wall saying, I don't hear God. I don't hear God speaking to me. And I always ask God to please search my heart. If there is anything that I'm holding on to that is hindering me from hearing him or from walking in obedience, to please reveal it to me so that I can ask him, my Father, for forgiveness. And he has. He has. God will speak to you, you know, but you have to search your heart. Ask him to search your heart and to remove anything that is not of him. And he will speak to you. He does speak to you. He's spoken to me, you know, through dreams, through nature, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, in my 38 years, I've never had this relationship with him. So this is, you know, all new to me, but I love it. You know, I'm in love with him. I love him.
So. Is there anyone on the call that can speak to forgiveness of the other person, either the other man or the other woman? Or are we still bitter against them? Everybody's still bitter against the other person.
This is Gigi. I'd like to talk about that.
Okay, go ahead.
About the other woman. God gave me a vision where I was standing up on, like at a Bible study, and there was in a church, and I was the speaker. And that's not me. I'm not a speaker, but. And I was going through my testimony, and all of a sudden this woman stood up and ran out. And that told me that that was the other woman, and she didn't know anything about me. And I cried. I started crying for this woman. And I'm going to cry too, like you, Sophia. I'm a crier too.
Hey, let it out. It's okay.
And, my heart broke for her because, to me, she didn't know anything about what was going on. So from then on, I started praying for her and crying for her salvation, and forgiving her. I mean, I literally forgave her that moment. And that was probably about 3 years ago, and I still pray for her. I still pray for this lady, and she's loved by God too. She's his daughter too, and she had a husband too. And I didn't pray anything. I never prayed anything against either one of them. I just asked God to show them that they're not meant for each other. To open her heart to him. To draw her to him with his loving kindness. and to give her dreams of his plan for her life and to open her heart to show her the dreams that he's planted in her heart. And I also prayed for her husband, you know, that they would reconcile and open their hearts to love each other again. And anyway, so that is so freeing, so liberating. I mean, when you start praying for someone, you literally start loving them. It's a miracle that that happens. But I started loving this woman and praying for her, and I still do. That's it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no, I can attest to that too, Gigi. I mean, my situation was not just another woman. It was women. And, you know, when I truly chose to forgive, there's times where, you know, I'm in prayer and praying for them that I just start sobbing. I start crying because my heart literally hurts for them too. So there is freedom. There is freedom in forgiveness, and it feels good.
It does.
You know, I would like to get to that place. I think, this is Lisa, I think that I pray the prayers to forgive, Father, forgive her, because she knows not what she does. And I have heard all the testimonies of Charlene and others from the BTG movement, Shayla. But then there is, and I want to get to the place where you ladies sound like it's coming from the heart, because right now it's coming from knowledge for me. I don't know if anyone else is having this experience, but, you know, we know the right thing to do, and so we do it because we know it's the right thing. But then there's a place where it connects in the spirit, and you don't do it because you know it's the right thing to do, but you do it because you're led of the Holy Spirit, or there's a connection with the Holy Spirit. There's some type of prompting or urging where you really get it deep within your soul to do that. I haven't gotten there yet, and the reason I know I haven't gotten there yet is because when prompted with our carnal-minded friend, I called her out of her name. And if I hear someone refer to her as the young lady, I cringe because I'm so used to just thinking of her as the other woman. So I, you know, when we do the closing prayer tonight, that's an area that I know that I need prayer and deliverance from or in. Anyone else that would like to share? Chris, you've been awfully quiet tonight. We'd like to hear from the male perspective.
from the guy. You know, there's been a lot on my heart this week, and especially for today, and my kids and I are going on vacation tomorrow, and I've been on I spent some time today just spending time with the Lord and praying, and I was listening to really almost like a two-hour sermon by Dan Moeller, and I think quite a few of you know who he is. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that it's Sophia. You touched on a couple of points with me, Sophia, in your testimony, and thank you for your testimony because I've heard part of it, but not in this way. So your testimony touched me as well, and I appreciate that. I think that one thing that touched me is that in relation to Dan Moeller and his testimony is that the whole purpose of SOS is God's calling all of us to Him. If we all just take a step back from all of this and try really to see what's at the heart of God in allowing this to happen in our lives, and I think that this is this is going to be a very mini testimony. There are 100 different ways that God can get our attention. And I hope that everyone's really listening to this, because this is, I think, going to be hitting some of you in the heart. There are 100 different ways that God can get our attention, because God's purpose for our life, He has a plan and a purpose for each and every single one of us. Some of us are the arms and some are the legs. Every one of us are part of the body of Christ, and we serve a different function. So wherever we are in life, God has a purpose and a calling specifically for us. And there is no one else that can do that except for you, for me. You know, we're wonderfully and fearfully created by God for a very specific purpose. There is no one else He created on this earth that would fit that description for that purpose other than just you or me, each one of us. So following that line of thought, God said over and over again, I will finish, Jesus said, I will finish the good work I began in you. And I will take you from glory to glory and faith to faith. And I've heard this said many, many times, is that the most challenging thing that God has, if we can think that anything's challenging for God, but in human perspective, the most challenging thing that God has is to get us to believe in Him, trust and faith. I think I posted sometime today, chapter 11 of Hebrews talks about it's the hall of faith. If you haven't read it, go back and read it. It'll really pump you up. Not like, you know, hey, pumped up for, you know, Friday night and then, you know, you're back to normal on Saturday morning. That is what we stand on, because our entire relationship is based on faith. If we're, by faith we come to Jesus Christ and believe in Him and accept Him as our Savior. By faith, everything else happens. Because what we're saying, when we take that leap of faith, what we're saying is, God, I believe not only that you exist, but that you're able to, and then I know you will. If we go back and look at Hebrews 11, kingdoms were overturned. Armies were destroyed. And oftentimes it was just one person's faith. One person. Now, think about this within our context of what we're praying for and what we're standing for. We're praying for, and I'm going in slightly two different directions, so try to follow me, and I wasn't prepared for this, but here it is. Whole nations, whole armies were turned around by one person's faith.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are doubting if God can do this one measly little heart of our spouse.
Yep.
Put that into context. Okay. Kingdoms and armies were turned around by one person's faith. Gideon called. God went to call Gideon. Gideon was hiding. God didn't come to him and say, hey, Gideon, why are you hiding? What, are you afraid? God didn't say that. God says, hey, Gideon, yes, Lord, you're a mighty warrior. He's hiding out. And God says, you're a mighty warrior. Because God saw the potential. Every single one of us, we're standing for our marriages. You're a warrior. The problem is you haven't realized the truth about yourself yet. Because if God called you to stand, He already gave you everything you need. He sees the warrior inside of you. You have to let go and let Him fill you with that faith and that trust and that hope. But at the same time, God can use 100 different things. Here's the other avenue I was trying to go on. God can use 100 different things to get our attention. It just so happened for you, for me, for all of us, He chose our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when God wants to really get our attention, He's going to find the thing that's closest to our heart. And for a season, take that thing away. So when I was a kid, I was in a sermon, and the preacher was talking about Jesus being the great shepherd. And he told me the story that there was one shepherd that when the sheep would go astray, he would go find that sheep that went astray, and he would break one of his legs and then throw him on his shoulders and carry him for the entire days and weeks and months that it took for that sheep's leg to fully heal. And during that time, they bonded where when his leg was healed and he finally let him off his shoulders after the weeks and months, and the sheep was walking on his own again, they were bonded so closely, never left the side again. Imagine Jesus is doing the same thing in a loving way, allowing that broken leg. But while he breaks our legs, figuratively, and he's throwing us on his shoulder and saying, okay, I'm going to carry you now. I'm going to carry you, Lisa, Chris, Sophia, everybody else, every one of us. He is carrying us on his shoulders. I got this. Do you trust me? That's the only thing I ask. I'm going to do the heavy lifting, Jesus says. I'm going to do all the hard work. Do you trust me? That's all I need you to do. Just trust me. Because faith moves the mountains. Faith overturns legions of armies, legions of demons. Faith brings kingdoms down. That's what faith does. But God is using this. So look at this way. God is using this to get our attention. He's allowed it. But at the same time, he's calling us and he's carrying us. There's so many different ways you can look at what he's doing. That's all I want to say. You wanted something, Lisa. There you go.
Wow.
Thank you, Chris.
I asked for hamburger and I got a steak. Thank you, Chris. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
so
I kind of
want to.
Sorry. Go ahead. No, and I kind of want to touch a little bit about that. Like, you know, one thing that God revealed to me was that I have made an idol out of my husband and my marriage. And, Chris, I completely agree with you. Nothing passes, you know, God. Nothing passes through God's hands. Like, he allowed it to happen, you know, because he wanted to change me. Like, this is my personal journey that I'm going, you know, on with him. And I know that my husband is also going to go on his own personal journey with the Father. And I think a lot of us, and I know I'm guilty of it, I was looking at my husband to fulfill and basically what only God, to give me what only God could give me. And in this journey that I've been going on, that I'm currently on, you know, God has made me whole. He's creating me in his image, and he will create our spouses in his image as well. So, I mean, Chris, you're totally right. Like, this is something that he allowed to happen. And I kind of see that on the share wall, too, that we're looking at our spouses to fulfill and to a void that only God can fill. And you know, it's been an eye-opening experience to me. I'm guilty of putting my spouse and my marriage before God. So, you know, that's it for me.
Thank you. Does anyone have anything else they would like to say or make a special prayer request tonight?
This is Jared. Good evening, everyone. How are you?
Hey, Jared.
Hi, Jared.
Hey, first time, and apologies for missing the last call. So I've recognized some of the names on the wall. Thank you for those of you who have prayed for me. I'm just in this process, fairly new. My wife left me February 8th, and we've had some light conversation. But just recently, a few days ago, it just was very negative. And I guess just... I mean, I think just the central thought in my mind is just not for her heart to be, you know, changed, but for her heart to be turned towards Jesus, really, you know. At this point, I have zero tangible evidence that there's, you know, another party, you know. But I guess just I think I'm letting go of my rope and falling into that rope. Everlasting rope of God, you know, what he has for me. So it's been an interesting journey so far. So just blessed and thankful to have the resource. So I guess if you guys could just pray for her to continue to, you know, and I'm also declaring that she's just safe and protected and, you know, walking with God. So
do you want to share her name, or you'd rather just refer to her as Jared's wife?
Probably just Jared's wife, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, no worries.
That's fine. That's quite fine.
Yes, it is.
Anyone else? Okay.
Hi, hello.
Seven.
Yes, hello.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
This is Charlotte.
I'm sorry. This is my first time as well. Just enjoy the testimonies. My name is Tradonna McAllister. I enjoy the testimonies. Just encouraging just to know that other people are out there with you, that I'm not alone. So I thank and I praise God for that. So just praying. It was 11 months in March. I mean, yesterday. So just pray with me for with my husband. His name is Joshua.
And that's Savannah, right?
My name is Tradonna. And my husband's name is Joshua.
Okay. Get ready, Chris, because you're going to be closing us out in prayer.
Okay.
Charlotte, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yes, it's not pertaining to marriages. It's about, well, I guess it is. Our youngest son, he's actually 19. He's been misdiagnosed for the last 6 years with depression and anxiety, and it actually is bipolar. And so they changed his medications. And today he just had a total freak out. Like, he was suicidal 6 years ago. Sorry, I'm going to cry. And so he changed his medications in the last week, and now he feels like he's in a bad spot again and was swearing at me today and telling me that I don't understand what he's going through and that nobody is there for him. And I'm worried that he's back to that same spot. He doesn't have a relationship with his dad, so it's all on my shoulders.
What's his name?
Trevor.
Trevor? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to close anyone off. We have about 5 more minutes. Okay. So next. No, we won't meet. We will not. I don't think we're going to meet next Thursday. If we do meet on next Thursday, then we'll send out an announcement. Chris usually posts on the RMM share wall. At this point, we may not be meeting next Thursday. I'm not really sure yet. If we do meet on next Thursday, then the topic is going to be repentance, which is a close sister to forgiveness. And you'll be hearing a personal testimony from me. If you yourself would like to share a personal testimony, please get in contact with either myself, Chris, or Sophia, and let us know, and we'll be happy to slot you in on one of the nights so that you can give your personal testimony, and you will have at least 15 minutes to share that testimony. I always like to say that we are not standing for marriages to be restored. So when you say, I'm tired, I'm giving up, or you hear someone say, I'm tired, I'm giving up, I'm not going to stand for my marriage anymore, what you're truly saying is, I'm tired of praying for this individual to be saved. And we should never get tired of praying for another soul to be saved, whether it's a spouse, a child, a family member, the other man, the other woman, whomever. We are standing on scripture for souls to be saved, for hearts to be softened and turned back to Jesus. This is not just for our personal gain, but this is for God's glory. And he will get the glory if we continue to keep our focus on him. So with that said, I'm going to give it over to Chris, and he will have the closing comments. If you have anything that you would like to add after the call, please feel free to email us with any feedback, anything you would like for us to consider as a topic. I'd like for us to have a testimony on trust. I'd like to get a testimony on faith. I think these testimonies, we grow and we strengthen each other through our testimony. So with that said, I'm going to give it to you, Chris, and you can go ahead and close us out in prayer.
All right,
Thank you, Lisa.
I want to say one more thing real quick, if I can, on piggybacking on what you said, Lisa, is that we're all going to have our days of struggle, but let's keep in mind that we're praying for our spouse's eternal life, eternal salvation. If we're not praying for them, who will? Who will? Somebody asked me two nights ago, I know that certain marriages are not restored, so I'm leaning in the direction that maybe mine isn't. That's what the person said to me. And I replied back saying, well, I think the only time that a marriage may not be restored is where the person who's standing stops standing. They stop praying because God is always looking for someone to stand in the gap. God is looking for us. God through Jesus Christ gave us the power and authority. If by our words and by our prayers we can move mountains and we can destroy armies, then if we walk away from the battle, what happens? Our enemy wins. If we could just visualize the spiritual battle that's going on, our prayers are so effective. If you guys listen to the podcast, sorry, Lisa, I'm going over time. If you guys listen to the podcast that Charlene posted just yesterday, and listen to it, you will see, you'll hear that she compared, Charlene and Bob compared journals, and you could see where Charlene's prayers corresponded with things happening on Bob's side, even though they were 100 miles apart. Prayer works. Prayer works. Just because you don't see it, you don't feel it, you can't touch it, it works. And we can't give up. We can't stop just because we don't see anything. But keep in mind that your husband, your wife, their soul, your son, their soul is begging for someone to pray for them. I would hate to get to heaven and see a lot of people in hell who I miss the opportunity to pray for them, not just for my wife, but what about my friend, my neighbor, someone at work, someone at school, someone I randomly met, you know, wherever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We pray for everyone without ceasing. And I know it's a struggle, but if we go to that well of Jesus Christ, he will fill us up every single morning. We've got to start out with that. Everybody keeps saying, I do this. I wake up in the morning and I put on a spiritual armor, and sometimes I don't feel like it. But I can't listen to my feelings and emotions because you know what? You're a soldier. Get up and go. Okay. I'll stop preaching. Unless anyone else has anything else to say, I will go into prayer. Anyone?
I have one thing to say. Yeah, no.
Sure.
And one thing, I mean, I know, like you touched on, Chris, is that, you know, we're going to have days where we're hurting and we're going through the pain. But one thing that really, really wrecks me is that the pain that I'm going through, and I'm going to start crying because it really hurts me. It really, really does. Yeah. The pain that I'm going through is nothing compared to the pain that Jesus went through when he died on the cross, not just for your spouse, but for us. He endured a death that he did not deserve. He laid his life down for us. And I'm willing, I'm walking in obedience, and I'm willing to lay my life down for my spouse to get restored back to God. So the pain that I'm going through is nothing, nothing, nothing compared to what Jesus went through. And that's what gets me every time when I start feeling that pain or like, oh. And once I think that and I take my thoughts captive, I keep going. So, you know, that's one thing that really gets me. So, go ahead, Chris.
Okay. All right, everyone. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We want to thank you. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for creating this opportunity, moving in Lisa's heart to pull this together, to coordinate all of us. We thank you, Father, for joining us here in this meeting. As you said that where two or more are gathered, you'll be here with us. Father, we thank you. We thank you for being here in your presence. We thank you for hearing all of our prayers, our hearts. Father, you know our hearts. You know our thoughts. And Father, you know each and every one of us in our struggles. You know where our loyalties lie. You know that you're shifting our loyalties from our spouses to you. You know, Father, that we're seeking your face and we're seeking your kingdom. But we're also praying for our husbands and wives, for our sons.
Mm-hmm.
Father, you know each and every one of our hearts. You know our prayers. You know our wants and our needs and our desires. And you know those places in our hearts that are just raw from the pain, from the hurt that's been caused by our husbands, our wives, by family members, our sons, daughters. Father, come meet us here in that place that only you can meet us. Fill us, Father, with your Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us. Speak to each and every one of our hearts, Father. And wherever we're not hearing you or we're not clearly understanding, Father, wipe away, brush away all the garbage so we can hear you clearly. And Father, we want to do your will. We want to obey. And we ask, finish the work that you started. Finish the work you started not only in our lives, but in our prodigals' lives as well. Because we know you love them just as much as you love us. You don't love them any less. Our sin isn't any less than theirs. Sin is all sin to you. It's all equal. But Father, we ask, have mercy on us and have mercy on our spouses. And Father, as much as you've forgiven us, we ask that same grace and that same mercy upon our spouses. They are so lost. They don't know what they're doing. They are hurting 10 times worse than we are. And they have nowhere to turn because they're running from you. So, Father, we ask, as you're chasing us and you're shaping us, as you're the potter and we're the clay, as you're shaping us, pursue them, Father, like the Holy Spirit pursuing the silver coin in the house, like the prodigal son waiting for their eyes to be opened. Father, bring clarity to each and every single one of our spouses. Bring clarity. Bring your truth. Shine your light into their hearts. This very evening, we ask individually and collectively, we ask, Father, touch their hearts. Transform their hearts
yes,
like only you can. Father, burst to you, back to yourself, and then to us, Father. Because they can't come back unless you call them. Unless you call them. Call them out of the season of sin. Call them out of this road that they're on of death and destruction. It's fun for a season. It's like sweet sugar in the mouth, but it goes down to the stomach. I think Proverbs, you say this, Father, that it goes down to the stomach and it becomes wormwood. It becomes sour and bitter. And that's where they are right now. Father, we ask, as much mercy and grace you've given us, Father, we ask the same upon our spouses.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They so don't know what they're doing. And Father, we ask, build us up in our faith, in our trust, in our hope in you. And Father, in those moments when any one of us find that we have trouble standing, we thank you that you lift us up on your shoulders and you carry us.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you carry us because only you can do that. Only you can. You died on the cross for us, and that not one of us could have done what you did. And yet you did it sinlessly. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you for being our intercessor. We thank you for being our high priest. We thank you for being our bridegroom. We thank you for being our everything. help us to understand that if we just lean on you morning, noon, and evening for our strength, for even the very breath that we breathe, Father, that you are there for us. That's what you want. You want us to be completely dependent upon you. Father, give us all, Father, that open arms welcoming us with our hurts, our pains, our tears. Every one of us has them, even us guys. We're tough, but when it comes to the heart and the soul, we're no different. We could be just as hurt as the next person. But, Father, we thank you because that tells us that you, as our high priest, and you have lived on this earth, and you've lived, and you've seen it, and you've experienced it, that as our high priest, you can be that compassionate one because you understand, you get it. When Mary and Martha didn't want to come out and meet with you, but when you went to visit Lazarus and bring him back from the dead, Jesus, you saw the pain and the anguish in their faces, in their tears, in their hearts, and you cried. So, Father, we thank you because we do have a high priest who knows, who's compassionate and understands. We thank you because you understand our tears and you collect each and every single one of them. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your compassion. We thank you for your sensitivity. We thank you for your peace that passes all understanding. Father, help us, Jesus, help us just lean upon you. Be our rock. Be our rock. Shine your light and your truth through us and give us your peace that we might pass that peace off to our spouses and everyone else around us. Strengthen us in such a way, Father, that not only do we shine, your word and your truth shine during our storm, shine in the fire, but we could become living testimonies to everyone around us, and we can encourage and embolden others as well. We can pick up each other's cross and each other's burdens and help each other carry them. Jesus, we ask. In Jesus' name, in your name, Jesus, we ask all of us of our Father in heaven. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, everyone, for your time on tonight. I want us to flood the RMM prayer wall with Psalm 51 and put the name of whoever you want in there, creating them, O God, a clean heart and renew a right spirit. We're going to be praying for the hearts of everyone over the next couple of days. Let us all just get together, and anytime you think about it, you just call out any name that you can remember. Remember Joshua, Jared's wife, Charlotte's son, Trevor. We're going to call out those names, and we're going to be praying for clean hearts and right spirits, okay? We're going to flood that IMM prayer wall with God's word. All right? Hallelujah. A heart of flesh, yes. Not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh. We're going to call
Amen.
On God to do what he said he would do in his word. We're standing on scripture, SOS. Be blessed
yes,
in Jesus' right. name. Have a good night.
In Jesus' name.
Good night,
guys.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
God bless you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.